This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Getting caught up on a busy weekend from Peoria, Arizona. They're back at spring training already, getting ready to head out to the field. Sammy Leavitt just tweeted, intriguing batting practice matchups today. Live BP, Michael King and Dylan Cease
will
face Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth, and Jackson Merrill. Video to come.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of... Sammy's been killing it with the videos.
He has. He has. That's really, really
good
stuff.
You and I both noticed the same one. Alec Jacob.
Oh, man.
Throwing live BP.
That was incredible.
Had a Jeremiah Estrada facing Manny and Tatis and seeing those matchups. Really good stuff from spring training already. Health has been a big story already, and most of it's been good news. Both Manny and Fernando reported to camp, both saying that they feel really good, 100%, actually. Manny said for the first time in quite a while, he actually feels 100% heading into a season, which is... and he joked, and then tomorrow I'll be less than 100%.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's how it goes, but never even got to 100% last year after the elbow surgery. Was obviously dealing with the elbow injury for most, if not all, of 2023 as well. So it doesn't guarantee Manny's going to have a great season, but certainly puts him in a better position to, contribute better and longer than he was able the last two seasons, which were both really good seasons. Yeah. Just I don't think you saw him at full strength in either one of them for most of the year.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he had the ankle a couple years ago. He had the elbow last year. Obviously, it was just it was like swimming upstream a lot of the time for Manny. So to have him at least right now feeling really healthy, it's good. I mean, you get through spring training, Ben, with guys feeling as close to 100%, you take your chances knowing that you're going to get some dings, a lot of dings. It's such a grind of a sport, dude. And, just to be able to get, that's the most important, man. Get our pitching staff through spring training, whole and healthy, and the bullpen whole and healthy, and then let's see what we've got. Because, there's still some areas on this team where they could use a little bit of depth. And, that's the beauty of spring training is all those pieces kind of start to click together. If Manny does get dinged up, does that open up a little bit of room for Eggy to play a little bit, get some ABs? If the left field thing doesn't really resolve itself and Jason Hayward gets dinged up, what happens there? But the guys in the bullpen right now, there's 12, 13 names, Ben, of guys that you feel like, all right, somebody gets dinged up, we'll have somebody ready to go. Don't know that you can say the same for the starting rotation right now, but again, get these guys through their healthy and let's take our chances.
But Fernando says he's good to go after the stress reaction in his femur last year. Xander Bogaerts showed up a little bit lighter, spent a lot of the offseason running along the beaches and shedding a little weight to try to, play a little more like a younger player.
Yeah.
Now that he's getting into his 30s. So, that all really good health news other than the one we already knew. Joe Musgrove coming off the Tommy John surgery, not expected to play this season, except Joe may have some other ideas later in the year. And he talked a little bit with our Sammy Levitt and reporters. Let's bring you first his question on you know, his analysis of the starting rotation without him and whether he thinks he might pitch at some point later in the year.
You're a perfect person to ask about this because the top four of the rotation looks to be pretty stepped. That fifth spot looks like it'll be a battle between Hart and Walder and Vasquez. How excited are you to watch that competition, and just what do you think about that battle?
Yeah, really excited. I think a lot of guys that have gotten some experience, some guys with, you know, quite a bit more experience. But, you know, Wally and Vasquez both had, you know, a lot of progression last year and really grew their game a lot mentally and physically. And from my standpoint, you know, not being, you know, entrenched in the preparation of getting ready to pitch a season and kind of getting to be more in the coach's shoes, I'm excited to kind of get a little bit more behind the scenes and see him work a little bit more. So
you've made it pretty clear you're going to do everything you can this year to get as healthy as you can. Do you envision yourself pitching at all? How are you mentally thinking about if you might throw at the end of this year?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of homework on this, you know, leading up to the surgery and then, you know, after the surgery, on, you know, just talking to guys and finding out, you know, things that they did that felt help them speed up the process and help them avoid setbacks. And a lot of it is just kind of waiting the time, you know, doing the work and being patient. I get to start throwing in about a month and a half, and you know, once that comes, I think I can, you know, start more realistically looking at, you know, pitching this year. You know, the age that I'm at and, you know, where I'm at in my contract and my career, it's really important that I get this right and I don't have any setbacks and don't have to repeat this process. So I'm realistic about the odds of me coming back this year, but I'm absolutely pushing to get back in October. If I'm a month out and I realize that that's kind of a long shot and it's not really a possibility, I'm absolutely not going to push myself to force it. But I'm training, you know, and preparing to be back in October. And if the time comes and we're a month out and I realize it's not there, then, you know, I'm comfortable with, you know, walking away from that and just staying in the role I'm in. So
I don't believe him, but
I mean, it's always good. I think it helps you do the work if you can.
In the next clip, they asked him, they're like, "So wait, are you like saying, you know, if everything went extremely well, would you pitch out of the bullpen like in October?" He goes, "I'll play first base."
He said, "He'd play first base.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want to help. Yeah, I just want to be out there."
If the Padres go deep into October, there is a theoretical timeline in which, you know, he recovers fast enough that is possible. I would deem it highly unlikely that we see Joe Musgrove on the mound at all this season. But in addition to those comments, there was a piece from Kevin Acey that
really
was really revealing about what we didn't know about Joe last year. I mean, we knew he spent time on the injured list, and, you know, we knew he was battling something during the year, but he's actually known for the last 2 years or so the Tommy John surgery was likely coming.
Was
the doctors were telling him, "Your ligament's hanging by a thread. You should just go ahead and get it." And he goes, "I'm not going to get it. I feel okay now. I can pitch through it. You know, I can get treatment."
He said, "If it goes, it goes.
It goes, and then we'll do it." And by the end of last season, going into the playoffs, he like went into every start, including his last start in the playoffs against the Braves, knowing it was about to go. And like telling Ruben Niebla,
"This is it,"
and the catchers, "Watch me every pitch, because if you see something, then it's probably gone." And they saw it. Remember how abruptly they took him out in that game?
It was horrific, man.
Just like, dropped like, what was it, like 7, 8, 9 miles per hour, and they said, that's it."
So they were waiting for that moment. That was not a surprise. That was not a surprise to the San Diego Padres that Joe blew out his elbow.
So you don't think, because he says if the postseason comes around, you know, and they're in it, he says, "I'll be back to throwing hitters in September. I'll be fully healthy. It's just a matter of whether I get built up and decent enough at a distance where I can go out and start a game and then do what they want me to do, go start a game, my first game in a playoff atmosphere. There's a lot of things working against me, but I feel good. I'm not trying to be an effing hero, but I'm going to give it every chance. And if I'm a month away, I realize I'm not ready. I'm not going to push it."
I just don't. I guess the scenario, if you get that deep into October, who are you taking a start away from to give to Joe?
I mean, it doesn't have to be a start.
Well, unless some, or, I mean,
Unless you were looking at like a bullpen
game, anyways,
and he's
an
opener.
I'm a strong bullpen that got you there as well.
Yeah.
Now, if you get to deep October, then all of a sudden you're hit by a rash of injuries, and you need arms, and Joe's ready to.
But see, that's
give
when
it a
Joe,
shot. Then I could see it maybe happening.
But that's when a guy like Joe Musgrove, you know, if a couple of guys go down, that's what you fear is that he's going to go, oh, I got to ramp this up, and when in reality he is right, man. Like. We need Joe. He's had some injuries, Ben, but he's had some freak injuries, right? A couple of them are kind of freak injuries. I don't look at him as a guy that's broken down. I look at him as a guy that's had some bad luck. Some of it's self-inflicted, certainly.
Running on the hot warning track.
It's mostly his barefoot injuries that have bothered. But I was, it was the kettlebell. So I was in the gym the other day and my trainer handed me the kettlebell. He goes, you know, this is the same weight that Joe broke his foot with. And I picked it up. I go, yeah, I don't think a shoe was going to do him any difference. Like if he had a shoe on and he dropped it on his foot was still going to be shattered at that time. So, but I that's what I fear is like if they are banged up, but they do want to make a run that Joe's like, I mean, you saw his mentality the last two seasons was, I don't care. If it goes, it goes. I'm going to go out and battle for my team, which I love. But he also realizes, I've got a contract, and I need to pitch. I need to be a pitcher. So I risking it in October, for a potential longer setback doesn't seem smart. But, hey, man, these guys know their bodies better than we do. That's for sure.
Even if he doesn't pitch, though, Joe is committed to helping the team in any way he can. And with that in mind, he said, I'm planning to travel with them, you know, as much as possible. He says, I may miss time for doctor's appointments and so the year, but, you know, his idea is to remain with the team. Obviously, he's there at spring training. He doesn't have to be, you know, there on a day-to-day basis all day long.
In uniform.
You know, his structure is going to be very different than the rest of the players, but Joe is clearly a big time leader with the San Diego Padres.
Oh, the quotes in the article were outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, they were absolutely outstanding.
He knows his presence would likely be missed. And that's not having a high opinion of himself. That's just the reality that not having Joe there is something I would assume that Mike Shildt would have been concerned about. So knowing that he plans to really be in that role and he can fill that role pretty well because, you know, for a starting pitcher, most days you don't pitch over the course of the season. You pitch once a week, maybe. The other days, he was still a leader. He's still going to be able to do all those things. And because it's Joe, I don't think there's going to be that eye roll that sometimes, you know, guys who can't play don't have the same authority in a clubhouse with guys who do play. But I don't see that as being an issue for Joe Musgrove.
Not even a little. Not even a little bit. I mean, the comments from Jeremiah Estrada, the comments from Michael King. Michael King said, I had no idea what kind of a leader Joe Musgrove was. Having him around, him caring to travel and be with us and help us, it's been amazing. Crony, that's just who he is. If anything, it's really important for him to be there. He stands up. Even if he's not on the field every fifth day, his presence alone, that's important. You don't get the feeling that that's lip service, especially when it comes to talking about Joe Musgrove. And that is again, one of those intangibles that he brings. And I'm all for it, man. I'd love to see him back and fully healthy in October. What a nice addition to a playoff roster that would be. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got to win.
As a fan, it feels like a movie moment.
Oh, no question.
If Joe comes trotting out of the bullpen, like, you know, Ricky Vaughn wild thing in Major League for a major playoff moment. Now, you know, again, I think there's the reality conspires against that, but man, can you imagine Petco Park sold out, haven't seen Joe in a year, and he comes trotting out of the bullpen?
I can absolutely imagine it. Yeah, I can absolutely
imagine.
What
a lift that would be to everybody.
No question.
It's something to dream on a little bit.
No question about it. No question about it.
I'm not going to bet against Joe Musgrove.
I'm not either. That would be dumb.
All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back. Don't do this! First edition of the week on a Tuesday. A crisis in the world of tennis after a suspension is announced for the world number one player.
You'll be informing me of this for the first time, Benny. I wanted to tell you guys, we were just talking about Joe Musgrove recovering from injuries and all of that. And listen, none of us are finely tuned athletes out there, but we all have stuff that we like to do. No matter what your passion is on the weekends or during the week, whether it's lifting weights, whether it is just taking a walk with your wife or your husband, or picking up your kids, man, all these things can be difficult when you have severe joint pain, just like I did in my wrists. Went to QC Kinetics. It changed everything for me. And you guys know what I'm talking about, that pain in your knee, your hips, your shoulder, your back. QC Kinetics, they're groundbreaking treatments for arthritis pain. They give you long-term relief. It is now possible, okay? So their regenerative treatments are sweeping the nation. Thousands of QC Kinetics patients would tell you. Don't wait. Make the call today. Talk to the local medical professionals. And includes PRP treatments. Will revitalize your joints without going under the knife. You're not going to miss a beat. There's no downtime. There's no surgery. There's no drugs. Joint pain does not get better with time. So before it's absolutely debilitating, go see if you're a candidate for these life-changing regenerative treatments by calling QC Kinetics in Torrey Hills or Hillcrest, 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. You'll get a free consultation when you call QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN. Please let them know Woodsy sent you.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
First Don't Do This of the Week, brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a Trust or Will and at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Yeah, I'll start with a very big story from the world of tennis, where the world's number one player has received a three-month suspension for a positive steroid test.
Ooh.
And the rest of the tennis world is upset. Not because he was suspended 3 months, because he wasn't suspended for longer.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Jannik Sinner, who's been best player in tennis the last couple years, was suspended 3 months, but it was kind of an under-the-table deal with the World Anti-Doping Agency. Now, here's the rub. It was actually a rub down that caused his supposed positive test. It was
a rub down.
He was getting a massage from one of his therapists who had used some sort of cream on his finger that had the steroid in it. And
steroid cream.
Which, I mean, everyone says, all right, this sounds like a really flimsy excuse. The WADA said his actual story, they investigated, and they believe he is being honest, that he didn't intend to cheat.
So then why did they suspend him?
Because it's a zero-tolerance policy. Any positive test
is an automatic
one-year suspension. So how do you handle something like this? Is it a case of favoritism where any other player, if they had gotten caught
yes,
tested positive, they would have gotten a 1 year suspension? There's no gray area here. He tested positive. No one denies that he tested positive. He did. He also tested for a very minuscule amount,
okay,
that they say probably wouldn't have benefited him in any way.
Okay.
But he triggered the threshold. What do you do? So they ended up with this deal where he accepted a three-month suspension, which just conveniently happens between the Australian and French Open, so he doesn't miss any of the Grand
any
Slam
of the big
events
ones
during the year. He just misses three kind of meaningless months of the tennis season. A lot of people in tennis are unhappy about it. Like, why does he get special treatment when the rest of us would have had to accept a one-year ban?
I mean, I think
no
that's
matter
a,
what.
I think
I
that's
know.
A that's a it's a fair argument, right? If it is what it is and it's truly no tolerance and it did trigger a test, then I do think you have to give the guy the full amount, right? But I mean, look, have we seen favoritism in other sports? Yeah, we absolutely have. In baseball, there's been favoritism, and then there's been the pariahs of baseball. Without naming names, there's people in the Hall of Fame that 100% tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Period. Period, the end. Name in the Mitchell Report. But you got a gap tooth, big smile, and no one seems
to
care.
You're starting to get kind of specific without naming names.
Not necessarily. And, you know, but
be careful over there, Poppy.
The under-the-table deal, though, is weird. Of like, all right, I'll just do 3 months, and we'll do it in a time that doesn't really affect me. Yeah, I think it would piss me off if I was another tennis player.
Novak Djokovic is one who has criticized the favoritism. Other players have also come out saying it's not a good look for the sport of tennis.
Satan's Blowfish nails it. Bud Selig. who oversaw the entire era. Put him right in the Hall of Fame. No problem whatsoever. If it happens under your watch, it is your responsibility, or at least that's the way that it used to be. Yeah, I think I would be pretty pissed. Even though, again, minuscule amount, these guys, they're told over and over and over and over, don't drink weird milkshakes. Don't buy these. There's right. a list
and
of
their,
things.
Their
you know?
Team, their massage therapists are told as well. And the
Correct.
Stuff that was there was labeled, like, don't. Like, you weren't using gloves. I mean,
there's just
this
no
is,
excuse.
At
anymore.
The best, this
there's
is
really
unbelievable
not.
Negligence and carelessness that happened that caused the positive
Maybe
test.
You just rub me down with some eucalyptus cream. You know what I mean? Just normal old
patchouli oil.
Massage oils. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty shady. This one, listen. Nobody really knows, but of course we had some fun with it. People had some fun with it online. So, you guys remember. Seemingly out of nowhere, Bryce Harper one day logs into TikTok about late December, and he starts showing you, hey, these are my Bryce Harper homemade recipes. I like to make this banana bread, and this is my own Gatorade that I make at home, and these are my lattes that I make. Well, they had the first full squad workout on Monday, and Bryce Harper and Aaron Nola were out. Trey Turner was going to be late, but Trey Turner's wife just had a baby. So it was an excused absence. Aaron Nola and Bryce Harper were out because of food poisoning. Now, you may remember Bryce Harper in his food blogging era holds up this big jar of raw milk. And he's like, I love this, man. Now, you also may remember he looked like a corpse when he was doing this. He had big dark circles under his eyes. He looked a little sallow. He does have kids. He does have a newborn-ish baby. I'll give him a pass for that. But Phillies fans, no joke, were losing their minds. They're like, oh, great. So our guy starts drinking raw milk all of a sudden, and he misses the first day of full squad workouts. They went absolutely insane on Twitter. Bryce Harper having food poisoning from raw milk actually was on my 2025 bingo card. Oh God, Bryce Harper, we will get you pasteurized milk. And so, yeah, he is out. He has food poisoning. Now, no one can confirm that that's what it was. Could have eaten a bad meal on the plane. Could have eaten anything, a pizza at the clubhouse. Nobody really knows. But, of course, where there's smoke, there's fire. And he was making these really funny, kind of endearing videos about all the weird stuff that he uses in his kitchen. No one's really surprised that Bryce Harper is out for food poisoning.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this on a Tuesday.
DD mega doo-doo.
Congratulations to Jaren Barajas, 18-year-old, who won $100,000 at the NBA All-Star Game Skills Challenge by beating Damian Lillard in a three-point shooting contest. Now, it wasn't exactly a fair fight. Dame had to make three from way back at the logo before Barajas made one. And Dame made the first two pretty quickly. I'm like, oh, this is going to be over. Then they started all missing. I don't know if Dame missed on purpose or not, just to kind of extend the drama. But it came down to the last few seconds. They go, all right, last shot for everybody. On his last shot, he banks it in to win $100,000. I don't know. Did you watch any of the All-Star Weekend? No. Paul, did you watch any of the All-Star Weekend?
I watched a little bit on Saturday night, kind of in between hockey
but not,
and San Diego
not the
State.
Game on Sunday, the three
I,
games, actually.
I watched very format. Little, and I saw that it was, like, universally hated.
I thought they actually did play a little bit harder. Now, there was still a lot of that no defense,
there was, like,
All-Star.
A ton of dead time in between
well,
the
that,
games.
Well, that was stupid. That's a don't do this. Why would you stop the game for 20 minutes so Kevin Hart can just wander around with a microphone?
They did that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They did that.
Like at halftime?
No, it wasn't even halftime.
They did like the mini game tournament format, tried to be like pickup.
In between the games, but also during the games. They would stop and like, okay, let's now a little interlude here with Kevin Hart. I didn't get that. But the competition, which was the three teams, Kenny, Shaq, and Chuck, each had their teams. The Shaq's OGs, which were mostly like, you know, the older players, the global stars, and then the young stars. And then you had your actual rookie team that won on Saturday that got to be the fourth team. And they played like a little tournament, two semifinals and a final. And I thought when you got to it was one of the Elam ending, you know, get to 40 points to win.
Polly.
As you got to the last 10
Elam
points
ending.
Or so, they started playing a little harder. They've got some work to do to make it. They can make it better for sure, but I thought that there was at least.
Hey, Ben, can we come watch our game? We're going to have an Elam ending.
There's some problems to the Elam ending as well. There was one that was going to end on a free throw, and the referee simply would not call a foul. Like, they didn't want it to end on a free throw, so just could hack them whatever they wanted. They have some issues in the NBA All-Star game, just like
every All-Star game does. They still
have some issues, but, you know, congratulations to the kid who won $100,000, and that's Don't and Do Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Do this to my beloved San Diego Seals, Ben, who desperately needed a win, had to go into Bandit Land in Buffalo to take on the undefeated Buffalo Bandits, and they won. And it was, I wanted to watch the hockey, but the Seals, they lured me in.
Westberg overtime winner, right?
Yeah. God, 6 goals for our captain, Westberg. It felt so good to watch them win that game. Now, Buffalo had played the night before. They were a little bit beat up. But, man, I'm not taking anything away from the Seals. Beating the Buffalo Bandits, I mean, they're like, it's the Dodgers of the NLL. They get 18,000 people a game at their matches. It's insane.
I bet they are going to be pretty mad for their next game, though. And looking for some revenge.
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe it's this weekend against the Buffalo Bandits here.
Yeah, the Bandits are going to want revenge on the Seal. Big one this weekend.
It was awesome,
you guys. Also, do this performance for the Aztecs on Saturday night. We'll talk a little college basketball coming up here at the bottom of the hour. First, though, let me tell you about SDFatLoss.com. So happy that I went through the program back in summer of 2023. They told me I could lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of my body weight in 60 days. I was a bit skeptical because I like to eat. Yet, I did. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. The most important part for me, though, is I've kept the weight off. I'm still over 40 pounds down about 19 months later, thanks to their great maintenance program. It's not just about losing the weight. It's about keeping the weight off long term. They take out the guesswork. It works for busy people. And mostly, I loved it because it was based on real food. No prepackaged bars or shakes or mixes. Just got my own food, chicken, steak, vegetables from the grocery store. Ate it when I was supposed to, portion size, and I lost the weight. It's not just me as well. My colleagues, Chris, Ello, Matt Scraby, lost a total of 77 pounds. Down the hall, Jess and John from KSON, they lost 70 pounds in 60 days. And so many tier ones, like Manny, he's lost 93 pounds on the SDFatLoss.com program. So it absolutely works. And it can work for you as well. Just set up your free consultation by going to SDFatLoss.com. Because it is still February, they're extending their Valentine's Day special, $200 off all this month long when you sign up. To lose the weight, change your life, feel better, look better in the mirror, more energy, better sleep, and less pain. So many benefits from taking that weight off. You can do it. I did it. You can too. Just go to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store and everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 4/5, plus save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. Yeah, it wasn't even, I mean, I didn't really watch the first half of the Aztecs game on Saturday night. And maybe that's, I don't know. Why they played so well. I wasn't there to constantly complain and tweet about them.
Because you're not a big...
I'm not.
You're not a Jinx guy. I am a Jinx guy. When I turned it off when they were getting their doors blown off last week, they came back with an incredible, incredible win.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed watching the first half of the game.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It was close for the first...
Like 8 to 9 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes, and then the Aztecs went on a little run and took a 10-point lead over Boise State at halftime.
Boise State went... I think they finished the last 5.5 minutes of the half without a point.
Yeah.
They only scored a free throw and they missed it.
They only scored 18 in the first half. They only scored for the entire game. They were held to what? 48 points, I think, which was their lowest total ever. 47 in a Mountain West loss. There was a 12-0 run for Boise State in the second half where things, even Brian Dutcher said, all right, I started getting a little nervous.
A little dicey,
cutting the big 23-point lead down to 11. But, the Aztecs went on to a comfortable 64-47 win. to sweep the season series, at least the regular season series from the Broncos. And maybe even more importantly, because it was such a big win, helped them in their computer metrics and kind of pushed them back, not off the bubble. They're still in the last four in on the bracketologies, I thought, but they were like the first of the last four in. They could actually play their way out of the play-in games if they finish strong.
How big of a win was it? I know, you know, obviously conference win, but how big of a win was it? Was it more morale? Was it more?
It kind of saved the season. I mean, they have two. They got to get through Fresno State tonight, which you don't take anybody for granted, but
sure.
Fresno State's not good.
They're not good.
You're at
all.
Home. You should. It's an 18-point spread, I think. You should dominate.
I mean, if they win by five, it's going to be very disappointing.
Got it.
And then they go on the road to Utah State and then host New Mexico, who are the two teams above them.
And if you get one, if you get both of those, you're in the NCAA tournament for sure. Yeah. If you get one of the two, I think you're probably in pretty good shape as long as you don't have a really ugly loss somewhere the rest of the way. So, you know, get the one tonight. But, Boise was picked to win the conference. They haven't been quite that good this year. A little bit of a disappointing season. But they have the same record as the Aztecs going into the game in conference. So, you know, Aztecs are currently in third. There was a big game on Sunday. So New Mexico rallied again to beat Utah State. So New Mexico now control. They're two games up. They're probably win the regular season title, get the number one seed in the Mountain West tournament. The Aztecs are only a game behind Utah State now. So if you could get to that two seed in the tournament, maybe avoid New Mexico until the final, or maybe someone even knocks off New Mexico. You don't have, because they dominated the Aztecs at the Pit. I don't know if that's what will happen at Viejas Arena, but they certainly dominated them at the Pit. That's probably the best case scenario for San Diego State right now. But the biggest difference to me, and I did watch the second half, is the play of Nick Boyd the last couple of games. Just much more aggressive. He had a career-high 24 points, 6 rebounds. And it's funny, I was seeing who he credited the turnaround to. Not Brian Dutcher or Dave Velasquez or any one of the great...
It was you, right?
Ben Higgins. Staff.
It wasn't me. It was Darren Collison, who is the color analyst that does the games on, I think, CBS Sports Network. Former UCLA player, and he said, "Hey Nick, I've been watching." He just came up to him before games. Said, "I've been watching you. You need to get more aggressive."
Oh,
that's cool.
And Nick said, "You're right. I basically, you know, I haven't been playing my game." And
I'm going to do that to one of the Padres.
Are you allowed
this year
to do that?
I'm going to.
If I was the other team, I'd be mad that the TV commentator is like having an impact on the games here.
Hey, crony, how are you? Good to see you. I'm going to need you to hack at that first pitch tonight. You've really been passive with these passive first pitch fastball takes. I'd like to see you go out there and put a good swing on the first pitch. He would punch me in the throat, right?
Because I don't think so.
But Nick Collison was actually a player.
Darren Collison was,
Darren Collison
he was
a player.
He was a really good player. I don't love the analyst, the broadcaster, Darren, but you know what? Thanks for turning Nick Boyd's 100%, season around.
Man.
Really appreciate that. Wade McKinney had a big game, 10 points off the bench, and he's credited for being like stepping up when they were down at San Jose State last Tuesday at halftime. Like, he's the one who stepped up in the locker room and gave kind of the speech and helped turn things around. And then, you know, Magoon continues to Magoon.
Oh, man. He's unbelievable.
Offensively, didn't have his greatest week, but had 10 block shots in two games, including 6 against Boise State.
Bullied him.
And was once again named the Mountain West Freshman of the Week for the third time.
I said it last week. It's been really fun to watch him string like 3, 4, 5, 6 of his best games together now, midway through the season or second half of the season. Now I'm starting to get nervous that he's putting too many good games together, and some NBA team is going to say, huh.
Or
a guy with that freakishly athletic body,
some college team with deep pockets are going to come calling.
It's definitely a concern. I was actually talking about this with Wale last night at Channel 10. He said, with the rise, you know, with Wemby and the big guys who are so important now, other teams are going to need that presence, defensive shot blocking presence. And he thinks there's definitely a team that would absolutely at least take Magoon with like a second round draft pick.
Crazy.
Put him in the G League for a year and develop him.
See what happens.
Now, I don't know that he won't make as much or more money staying at San Diego State with the with the NIL tournaments and everything that they've set up. If it's about the money, he might be just as well off staying at San Diego State one more year and trying to play his way into a first-round draft pick the next year. So I don't think he's gone for sure, even if he would get drafted. Kind of a personal preference thing and how you want to do your career. But he's definitely opening some eyes on the next level.
That's three times in 4 weeks, I think, that he's been named Freshman of the Week.
He's been playing really terrific for San Diego State.
Satan's Blowfish says in our chat, doesn't sound like we should be expecting State to make a deep March run. I tend to agree. Like, they've played
If they get in, they're going to be like a 10 or an 11 seed.
But,
like,
man,
no one expects those seeds to make deep runs.
They're just one of those teams, though, when they do play together and everyone's on the same page, they look like they can run with anybody in the country.
And if they shoot well, they do everything else well enough that they can win. It's just when the shot disappears.
Yeah, the defense will be there.
But the defense will be there. You know, if the rebounding is there. I mean, they shot 50% against Boise State. Of course they're going
to
win.
It's like, one of those seasons where if they made it to the Sweet 16, wouldn't be surprised. If they were bounced in the first round or don't even make the tournament, wouldn't be surprised at this point.
You say that. There's probably 50 teams you can say that about. You know what I mean? Like, just 50, like, I mean, 50, 60 teams.
There's a lot of parity in college basketball now. A lot of parity. Now.
And you know how wild that tournament gets. Oh, like,
all bets are off.
It is. It's why it's so great.
Late start tonight, 8 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
See if you can at least give me the first half.
God's sakes, what are we doing here?
It's TV.
Don't you people have jobs and stuff? What is going on?
But
it's like 8:30. Eight means 8:30.
I know. It's
at least 8:15.
Still, though, the Aztecs probably not the top ranked team in San Diego. UCSD, another big win, seventh in a row. They beat UC Davis 85-60 on Saturday.
White hot.
They're now up to number 3 in the mid major poll, and they're only behind the stalwarts, St. Mary's and Gonzaga. That's the level they're at now.
Woo!
They're being, you know, compared even somewhat favorably to Gonzaga, who's having a really down season. They're out of the top 25. They're not having a great year. But even on a not great year, for UCSD in 1 year to be in the same conversation as Gonzaga is quite the debut for their first full year in Division I. They even got 3 votes in the coaches' top 25, the actual top 25 poll.
That's yesterday. Insane.
San Diego State not getting any others receiving votes, but UCSD did.
Good for them. Your dad and brother got to be fired
up.
Are they?
They're so excited.
Oh, I love that.
They've been to a bunch of games this year.
I love that for them.
Having a lot of fun.
It feels good, like when Loyola made their run. You know what I mean? It's really cool to see your squad be one of those teams that's you know, on the outside looking in, and the next thing you know, you look up and you're like, oh my God, we're in the Final Four. I mean, bananas.
They'll play at Cal Poly in their next game on Thursday as they go for 8 in a row. All right, other baseball news from the weekend. Spicy story developing with the Boston Red Sox. We'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget to listen at 9 a.m. for us to announce today's biggest fan for a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. You can register your name and hopefully hear it called by going to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan, and you have your opportunity to win. I would say there's some Red Sox people who aren't the biggest fans of Rafael Devers today.
It is such an interesting conundrum that's happening in Boston right now. Down in Florida at spring training, Ben, it's a big story. And I don't know how a story like this gets resolved. So essentially, if you missed it, we all heard about Alex Bregman signing with the Boston Red Sox. Now, Alex Bregman has played third base. He's a third baseman. Rafael Devers was signed to a very long and lucrative extension to stay with the Boston Red Sox.
Like a Manny-like contract.
Yeah, Manny-like contract. He's there.
He's expensive.
He's a cornerstone-type player for the Boston Red Sox.
Smart, 10 years, $313 million.
Smart move, locking a guy like that up, because the most extra base hits since 2019, Rafael Devers. The most total bases since 2019 is Freddie Freeman first, Rafael Devers right behind him. He is an elite, elite hitter. Now, when you look at his defensive runs saved at third base, Ben, minus 61 defensive runs saved.
Wouldn't that be defensive runs cost?
Correct. It would, by that measure, no infielder has cost his team more runs over the span since 2017 than Rafael Devers. So you take the good with the bad. The old adage in baseball is, if you hit, you don't sit. I try to tell all my kids, I know you guys like taking ground balls. I know you like playing pickle. Start hitting and hit and never stop hitting, because if you hit, you will always have a job, despite what your defense looks like. And Rafael Devers is a prime example. It's a $30 million a year player, Ben, that is not good at third base. He has the ability to make some spectacular plays, and he has, but man, overall, the course of 162-game season, it's not really the guy you want down at third base. It's really not. And I think they projected him as more of a first baseman, maybe even a designated hitter. But he's still a young player. He does not want to go sit on the bench and just hit. So they signed Alex Bregman with the intention of, I think, hey, Alex. Alex said, I'll play wherever. I'll play some second. I could even play short
if
you need me to.
And he could move to second, except the Red Sox also have their top prospect is Christian Campbell. And he's a second baseman, and he's like gunning to win a job in camp, likely at second base. So if he does, that puts the Red Sox in a bit of a bind, because then Alex Bregman can't just move over to second. And you can't, you can't just say, Alex Bregman, you're our DH. Then you're putting one of your best defensive players not on the field. That would be dumb.
So, you know, the old heads of baseball, and again, you know, Boomer Woods is a real thing. Boomer and me, from time to time, we act like this is just something that the modern player does, okay? And it's not the case, Ben. I promise you. Back in the day, Joe DiMaggio did not want to move for Mickey Mantle. He just didn't. I'm the center fielder for the New York Yankees. I don't care who this kid is. I don't care what this kid has done. I'm not moving. This is a little bit different in that Bregman is more of the veteran. But if you're Rafael Devers and you look around and you've signed this long-term contract, they basically came to him and they said, hey, would you be willing to move to first? And his answer was, no. Would you be willing to DH? No. So now they're in a bit of a pickle. Now you're the new guy in Alex Bregman, and you walk in, and there's Rafael Devers, who you really need to be in lockstep with to go out and try to win a championship in a tough division. And you say, all right, well, this is super, super awkward. This is very awkward. Like, Bregman was taking ground balls at third base yesterday. Devers wasn't there. He did a press conference. They asked him some questions, and through his interpreter, he said, I'm the third baseman. I play third. That's what I do.
Could there be some lost in translation?
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound like it.
I don't think so. Now, again, people are already saying in the chat, and look, I kind of tend to agree. We've gone through a little bit of this here, don't forget, with Xander Bogaerts. Now,
well, what did the Red Sox promise Devers?
So this is interesting, too. The Red Sox, when Chaim Bloom extended him, he said, I'm extending you to be our third baseman. They asked Alex Cora about it yesterday, and Alex Cora said, he's not here anymore. He's in St. Louis. He's the, whatever he is there, the assistant to the GM or special advisor, whatever.
GM in waiting,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, Chaim Bloom's not here anymore. So, and just kind of let that speak for itself, basically saying Rafi's going to need to do what we want him to do.
Well, remember when Xander Bogaerts signed with the Padres promised he could play shortstop.
For one year.
And then they moved him.
You know, they did move him. Now
they've moved him back.
But the other...
Because of the need at shortstop, but they didn't overpromise. And Xander wasn't all that happy, remember.
He was not that
wasn't
happy
all that
about
happy
it.
About
well, again, in Xander's...
Needing to move.
In Xander's defense, it was day one of work. You showed up for work on day one and like, oh, by the by, you're going to switch positions this year. So that probably wasn't handled as best as it could. This is a huge, huge problem for the Boston Red Sox. Now, Alex Bregman can make it all go away by saying, okay, no problem. I'll go play second base. And I think he probably will. That being said, though.
Then what do you do with your top prospect?
What do you do with your top prospect? What do you do if he keeps booting balls at third knowing you have Alex Bregman right there? You're instantly loathed by your fan base, and it puts him in a really tough position. And I do appreciate that about Rafael Devers. Like, you're put in a really tough position here by your organization, but also if the ultimate goal is winning a world championship, I am of the opinion, man, when you get a deal like that, you need to do what they ask you to do.
I have sympathy though for both Xander and you know Rafael.
I do
too. Exactly what the inner thoughts are, but I would imagine there's a big worry about, I don't know that I can do this. I think I'd feel foolish at a different position. I don't want to hurt the team
100%
by being just an absolute, even worse than I already am at a position that I'm not good at.
Well, and if I'm not, and you know the guy's not bought into it, it's one thing if a player goes, I'll be willing to go wherever you need me, right? That's different than, no, I'm not doing it and then they force you to do it. How hard is that, man, to move positions at the big league level? We all sit here and say, well, you got to do what the team asks you to do. There is an embarrassment factor, too, of like, can I learn a brand new position after 6-7 years, you know, in the big leagues playing one position? I totally understand and am sympathetic to it. But I do kind of stand on the opinion of, hey, man, we're paying you 30. You need to play where we need to play you, and we need to play you where the best interest of the team lies. And I think the best interest of the team is Devers not being at third and Alex Bregman being at third.
These things do have a tendency to work themselves out.
They do.
Eventually. What looks like a problem on day one of spring training somehow resolves itself.
Kyle says be a good teammate. Yeah, I do feel that way as well. And we can all sit here from our jobs, us as radio hosts and you guys, whatever you do, and go, pay me $30 million, I'll do whatever. And there are players like that. There are. Rafael Devers is not one of those guys right now. So right. It's a really spicy meatball.
Mention Xander Bogaerts. We got some new audio coming in from Xander at spring training. You'll hear that in the second half of Ben and Woods.
Well, and coming up next,
another signing just announced.
Another signing. And coming up next, though,
not for the Padres.
Oh. I've put Ben in a huge pickle.
Oh,
huge.
All right, we'll come back. Sammy Leavitt as well in the 8 o'clock hour next.